welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
All right. Well, again, good morning. Welcome. Good to see all of you out here this morning and just ready to, man, get into the Word of God this morning. I'm excited. I really feel like God has got a word for us that is going to just help encourage us and just bring a lot of peace and strength this morning. So we're going to go ahead and delve into it. We're going to start with a passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. This is the Apostle Paul speaking. He says, "Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality might be swallowed up by life. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, yes, well-pleased, rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." So the Apostle Paul is giving some comfort to the Corinthians here as he's going through some amazing trials and struggles in his own life. In fact, when you read the whole book of 2 Corinthians here, it's almost kind of, it's almost written a little bit like a lawyer's defense of his ministry for all the struggles and trials and everything that he's going through. And you know that his heart is right, and but he's also kind of letting them know how he's able to go through all these trials and struggles and different things like that. He's saying his key, his secret to success in not losing heart is he looks past the things which are seen to the things which are eternal. In other words, he's got this eternal perspective. Yeah, I see this is going on, but I can see past it. I can see past it to something bigger, something that's going to last forever. And so he's saying that this is how we encourage ourselves in this ministry. He goes on to say, you know, that we're walking by faith, we're not and not by sight. As long as we're in, listen to the language here. He says, so we're confident knowing that while we're at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. Now, that's interesting language. This is the same Apostle Paul who lets us know that we're the temple of the Holy Spirit, who lets us know that Holy Spirit is Christ in us, the hope of glory. And we do and have and we carry the very presence of God on the inside of us by the Holy Ghost. That's absolutely 100% true. But there are two things that can be true at the same time. We have the presence of God. We have the Spirit of God in our hearts. But there's also a being present with the Lord that will happen when we depart and leave this body. Now, you got to remember, too, the same Apostle Paul, he relates later in the same book. He said, "I knew a guy in Christ once who was caught up to the third heaven, and he saw things that were unlawful to speak on the earth." And most Bible scholars agree that's Paul. So Paul knows what it's like to be caught up into heaven. And so he came back down, and he said, "Man, as long as I'm in the body, I'm away from the Lord in that sense, that eternal sense. But when I'm away from the body, I will be present with the Lord." What did that do? He had this sense that even though he's going through all these trials and struggles, he could look past the now and he could see through to where he was going. It was a powerful way to live. And so it's a divine perspective, in other words, he had as he's going through life. And so I want to look at that heart of Paul, that divine perspective. And this morning we're going to simply be talking about living in the light of eternity. All right? Living from a heart that sees the big picture, not getting caught up in the detail of this issue or that thing to where that little one situation could take us down. No, I can see past. I can see the big picture. I can see where I'm going here. And so Paul lived. He said, I don't lose heart because I can do this. And I'm just saying, this is good for all of us to remember these things and to, as we're feeling that temptation to lose heart or give up or be discouraged, to have that same heart. I'm looking past those things which are seen to those things which are not seen, to live in the light of eternity. And I just also want to say up front, too, that as I'm going through this message and as I'm going through different parts of this message, that there is in it an underlying tribute to Steve Brandt, a man of God who many of us Door of Lifers knew, loved, and we know that he is present with his Lord Jesus right now. Actually, was here just several weeks ago, and just a sweet man who loved the Lord and just in a wonderful example. And he's a guy that I think of when I think of this, somebody who had an eternal perspective, who could see out beyond the now and the in just that heart, that inspiring heart, you know? He's with the Lord, but he left that, I believe, for us to encourage us. And there's going to be a special service for him at Shepherd of the Bay this afternoon from 2 to 4. I want all of you Door of Lifers to know that, to be aware of that. And if you, some of you are wondering who Steve is, and, you know, again, just a great, great man of God who loved the Lord, and there's going to be a special service for him. So I just want to lay that foundation as we go forward in this message today. So the first aspect of living with that in the light of eternity and that perspective is it creates this courageous attitude. There's just something about it. The Apostle Paul, that same Apostle Paul who said he looks past the temporal, he says, now I am bound by the Spirit to go to Jerusalem, and I don't know what awaits me, except that the Holy Spirit tells me in city after city that jail and suffering lie ahead. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I might finish my race with joy in the ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. That's pretty powerful. When you're living in the light of eternity, the idea that, you know, you could die, it's possible that you could die, he wasn't moved by that so that he could finish his race with joy. In other words, he was seeing beyond natural death. He wouldn't let the fear of death control and dictate what he could and couldn't do. That fear of death was gone in this light of eternity. It inspires courage when you begin to see past things. You begin to see the big picture of your life. I remember watching a movie, and this is back in the 80s, I think, kind of depicting the life of Paul. And I remember this little scene in there that just kind of made me think of this that was so powerful. It was Paul and Barnabas in their first missionary journey. And I think they were at Iconium, and Paul had gotten, you know, stoned and left for dead, and, you know, they raised him up, and, you know, they're gonna go on, and Barnabas is thinking, man, maybe we should just, you know, go back and get some rest and recover and restore. And, you know, and Paul's like, well, yeah, I've thought of that. It's been on my mind. He said, but let's not go on to Lystra, you know. And, you know, maybe we should just get back, you know, get refreshed or something. And Paul's just like, he didn't say anything. He just kept going straight on to Lystra. And Barnabas is like, oh, well, I pray the stones will be softer in Lystra than they were in Derbe. But there's a determination that that wasn't going to move him. It's kind of like, if you do this, Paul, we're going to persecute you. We're going to stone you. He's like, yeah, and I'm going to preach the gospel. I'm going to still preach the gospel. You can tell they're afraid. You know, that spirit that's driving is afraid of the gospel. And Paul wasn't afraid of them. He was going to proclaim the gospel. He wasn't going to be driven off by fear. He's going to stand up. That inspires courage. You see a life like this. In fact, he gets pretty bold in one place. He says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. If I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I can't tell. I'm hard-pressed between the two. I have a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. And being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for the progress and joy of faith, that your rejoicing for me may be more abundant in Jesus Christ by my coming to you again. Wow. Talk about a guy who's totally free. He's like, you know, Lord, I could go anytime. And it's not like he's suicidal or he wants to take his own life or anything. Not at all. This is not a depressed man. This is a man who knows his Lord, knows the joy of his salvation. And think about this. Again, this is the same guy who'd been caught up to the third heaven. He had an idea of where he was. When he said, it's far better, he already had a sneak preview of what far better means. That's not just theory for him. He knows. He saw things. Think about that. You know, right now, what does the Bible say? We see through a glass darkly. We don't see clearly. Then we're going to know face to face. Then we're going to see some things face to face. Well, he got caught up to there, and he must have got in on some of those things that we don't get to know yet because it wasn't permitted for him. He saw it, but it wasn't permitted for him to say some things on earth. He got a glimpse of glory, all right? And so he's saying this is going to be far better, and he knows that. He says, yet to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. And he says, being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue all for the progress and the joy of faith. And what he says here, but if I live on in the flesh, in verse 21, this will mean fruit from my labor. Isn't that amazing? I mean, here's a guy who's been both places, and he's saying, I want to be there, I want to be with Jesus, but you know what? If I stay here, there's going to be fruit from my labor. There's going to be an eternal impact for the kingdom of God. This unique situation. And he's like, I'm going to stay here. I'm going to hang out for you guys to hang out and encourage your faith. But look at that confidence. It's very hard to spook a guy like that. It's very hard to scare off a guy like that. Why? He has an eternal perspective. That eternity, the more heaven is real to you, the less you fear death. You're not afraid of death. And that comes by revelation. It's not by being tough and all that and the way the world depicts it and go ahead and make my day and all that. Forget that. No, I'm talking about something that's real. I'm talking about there is a revelation of heaven. There's a joy. What does he say? He didn't just say, so I could finish my course. He said, that I might finish my course with joy. There's a joy that knows when you get free. I know where I'm going, and I know who I believed. I'm fully committed. I believe he's able to keep that which I've committed to him against that day. There's a trust that you have in him. And so the Apostle Paul is like this, and I just love this, the way his heart is. And so this is kind of the example then that we have from Jesus too. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight and the sins that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. If we do this, by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith, because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding the shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Now that's amazing. What do we see? Jesus. He went through a bunch of junk just like Paul did. But Paul was seeing eternity. Jesus was seeing the joy that was set before him. So one of the things that we've got to realize is that a big part of living in the light of eternity and living that, you know, to be able to see, what is it that I'm afraid of? Man, I'll tell you what, my life is bigger than that. And if God is calling me to do something, man, I can do it. I can go through it. I can go through whatever I need to go through. But there's a freeing thing that happens. There's a reality, praise God, that, you know, no matter what it is, I can do it. And I think this probably, you know, for me, when you think of death and the fear of death, it's one of those things that the enemy will play on you, and he'll play on your mind. And all of a sudden, we live in such a death culture, you know, that we live in today. Just about everything and anything can kill you. And you just about see everything, you know, is going to be triggered to something, an article or something that you can read on the internet. And it's just like we're always reminded of our mortality. But man, when you begin to live in the light of eternity, you begin to be reminded of your eternal life. And so you're putting eternal life out in front of that. Instead of just living the day of my mortality, eternal life. I'm going to live forever. Somebody put it this way. This is the smallest thing you will ever do. This existence. It's tiny. 99.99999% of your existence is out of this. This is temporary. These will be the good old days in a blink in terms of looking back. This is tiny. And so to have that big picture of you right now and say, eternal life, my eternity is in heaven with God forever. I'm done. This is a short-term mission trip. What do we need to do down here? See that attitude come through Paul. He's just like, here we go. And even Jesus, you know, he said, for the joy that was set before him, before, you know, he went to Gethsemane, he said, okay, Father, I've done what you've wanted me to do. Now restore to me the glory that I had with you before the world began. I'm ready. I'm ready to come back. You know, he was on his short-term, he finished his short-term mission trip, and we realize that that's our eternity, not this. This is temporary. And that's how you don't lose heart. Praise God. My heart is in something much bigger than what I can see with my eyes. Not only that, but that eternal purpose that really begins to come out. This is an amazing admonition by Jesus, I think, as it relates to living in the light of eternity. He said, don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys nor where thieves break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. That's interesting. Jesus is admonishing us to store up treasures in heaven. And a lot of times we think of, and he says, don't store up. He said, it's not about a natural material wealth, but there is a spiritual wealth, all right? There can be a natural wealth, you know, that can corrupt, but there is a spiritual wealth that can absolutely bless. And you want to be minded about what you're doing, because we have the ability, and this is like eternal purpose, to think of it in our limited time. Again, this is the smallest thing we'll ever do, but in this time, in this little bit of time, this slice of time, we've got the opportunity to impact the outcome of eternity, limited time only, and to get that sense of perspective. And Jesus said, in this limited time only, store up treasures in heaven. What does that look like, Jesus? He gives us kind of an example of what that looks like. He's telling a story here, Jesus says, and the king will say to those on his right, come you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you fed me. I was thirsty, you gave me a drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me into your home. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you cared for me. I was in prison, and you visited me. And then, of course, they say to him, when did we ever do these things to you, Lord? That doesn't make sense. But then the king will say to them, I tell you the truth. When you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren and sisters, you were doing it to me. Wow, that's powerful. Storing up treasures in heaven. You know, when you do things, I mean, when you can begin to see things and see people and situations, and not just see the plight, but to see Jesus, and to realize that you're blessing Jesus, you're blessing him. That is a powerful way that we live with an eternal perspective. It's a beautiful thing to see the heart of God touched when we reach out and love people. That's the heart of our food pantry, you know, is we just want to feed people. We know that we're touching his heart, we're blessing him, we're blessing people, but we see him. We see him in those people's faces. You see Jesus in people's faces. I love, this is a song that Keith Green wrote, kind of along these lines. It goes like this, open your eyes to the world all around you. Open your eyes. This world is so much more than the things that surround you. You must arise and open your eyes. Sometimes we're too busy to share, but Jesus wants us to care. Open your arms to the naked and shivering. Open your arms. We need a little less taking, a whole lot more giving. We're so safe and warm, we can open our arms and love a little bit stronger and pray a little bit longer. Jesus says when we love someone in his name, we're loving him. Jesus says when we touch someone in his name, we're touching him. And we've got to show them the light. We've got to pour out our lives. Open your hearts to the ones who are desperate. Open your hearts. They may never repay you, but their souls are worth it. The life you impart when you open your heart. Jesus loves all men the same, so we've got to go out in his name. Jesus says when we touch someone in his name, we're touching him. Jesus says when we love someone in his name, we're loving him. Jesus says when we feed someone in his name, we're feeding him. And Jesus says when we reach someone in his name, he feels it. He says it's all for him. That's a powerful
It's a wake-up song. What's our distinction here? Jesus said, they will know your Christians by your love. Your love. Do you know that it's our love that gets the world's attention? Love is what ultimately gets the world's attention in so many powerful ways. When there's a love that makes no sense to selfishness and greed and hate and bitterness, and it's a love that is giving and caring, that's the love. These are the ways that we're storing up treasures in heaven. This is the way we're being intentional. It's not about, again, like a material wealth, you know, I want a really big pile and I want my pile to be bigger than your pile and all that. It's totally, completely different. Man, it's a treasure. Think about this. When the Lord rewards you for the things, and this is clear in Scripture, you will be rewarded according to the things that you did on the earth. You can't be saved by these things, right? You're saved by grace through faith. It is the gift of God. But man, there is treasure that we store up. This short-term mission trips, there's good works He's ordained us to walk in, to bless and to touch people's hearts and to bless people's lives. And again, when I think of this, I think of Steve Brandt. And when you think of his life and people that I've just talked to and stories and, you know, about him, just that reaching out didn't matter. Didn't matter who you are, whether you're a Christian, not a Christian. You have to check all these boxes before you could, you know, there was just that heart. There was to see Jesus in people, to see the lost, even in the lost, to see Jesus, to see that His heart is in them, His heart for them. Not willing that any should perish. That's a heart that's not willing that any should perish. And to see the heart of the Lord, and to see that this is where we're here. Again, limited time only. We can make a difference by our love. The way we reach out, the way we touch people and minister and care for people. So these are the times, you know, as we're living with that sense of eternity, you realize that, okay, the Lord might be prompting me to give something to that person. It could be to give something financially. It could be to give of your time. It could be to just show some care, concern. Whatever that is, you know, it's not just running the math of, okay, now how's that going to affect my day or whatever. You see past the natural stuff. And you say, no, this is something that I'm doing for eternity. I'm doing this to bless and touch and love the heart of God. Because if there's something God puts on your heart, we have a love for people and situations, but there's a love of the Lord that you are touching and blessing, and He sees it. The same God that knows the number of hairs on your head knows all those things that we do for Him. And then finally, James puts it this way, come now, you who say today or tomorrow we'll go into such a city, spend a year there, buy, sell, make a profit, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It's a vapor. It appears for a little time, then it vanishes away. Instead, what you ought to say is, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or do that. You know, this is Paul in Corinthians. He says, so dear brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable. Always work enthusiastically for the Lord, for you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. So there is this sense when we're living in the light of eternity that we live with this sense of divine purpose, that the things that we're doing for God, they have absolute eternal purpose. And if, in fact, that heart which says, you know, if the Lord wills, we'll do this, the Lord wills, we'll do that, that's exactly how Jesus lived. He just said what He heard the Father say. He did what He saw the Father do. So there's that sense of living with that eternal, you know, that eternal perspective, praise God. But here's the thing I kind of want to get to. Those are good. But the reality of heaven. When you live with a heart that is living in the light of eternity, heaven is very real to you. I love the way the Apostle Paul put it. He doesn't pull any punches. He says, if we who are in Christ have hope only in this life, and that's all, then we are of all people most miserable and to be pitied. The Message says, if all we get out of Christ is a little inspiration for a few short years, we're a pretty sorry lot. What was Paul saying? Paul is saying heaven or bust, right? This is not about looking good down here and being a good guy. No, this is about eternal. Jesus came to save us from a real hell and to bring us to a real heaven. Eternal life is real. The reality of heaven. He says, for if I consider the sufferings of this present life are not worthy to be compared with the glory that's about to be revealed to us and in us and for us and conferred on us. This is huge. This is really, this is everything. You think of the verse, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. That's a big deal. There is nothing bigger. There is no greater gift. There is nothing more important than eternal life, than living forever in all eternity with God. That's why Jesus came. He came to pay that price so that we could be with him forever and ever. And, you know, as you think about heaven and you think about just different aspects of it, it can kind of take on some different perspectives as far as the way we see it, the way we view it. I remember hearing kind of a person testify about how, let me just double check it. Let me see here. Grab it here. I don't have. I'm sorry. I thought I had that, but I guess I did not have that. Just about how when you think of heaven, you think of this place that we're going to go sometime and be with the Lord, and that's all true. But as you live this life for a while, you begin to lose people down here, and people go to heaven. And you realize after time that you're not just going to go to heaven to be with Jesus forever. You're going to go to heaven to be with the people that you love forever and ever and ever. It's not just a place where we're with God. It's a place where we are with the family of God. To be able to see that, to know that, and to just realize, you know, that's, praise God, that's another great blessing and glory of heaven. You know, that we get to see each other, that death has lost its sting. But let me reveal to you this wonderful secret. We will not all die, but we will all be transformed. It will happen in a moment, in the blink of an eye, when the last trumpet is blown. For when the trumpet sounds, those who have died will be raised to live forever. And we who are living will also be transformed. For our dying bodies must be transformed into bodies that will never die. Our mortal bodies must be transformed into immortal bodies. Then when our dying bodies have been transformed into bodies that will never die, the scripture will be fulfilled. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? And again, this is the beautiful victory that we have in Christ. Now, when I lose somebody down here, is there still a temporary sting of loneliness? Yes, there is. Do I still have a sting of missing them and wanting to be with them and having? Yes, there is. But the suffering of that temporary loneliness cannot be compared with the glory of the reunion you're going to have with them someday. I remember just kind of in my computer, or just kind of working away and, you know, just kind of reading some of these scriptures, and I had lost my mom a few years before that, and I just remember thinking to myself, kind of theoretically thinking, well, you know what, there's going to actually be a time when I'm going to be reunited with my mom, you know? And then all of a sudden, the Spirit of God, and you know when you hear the Spirit of God just spoke to me and said, yes, there is an appointed time when you are going to be reunited with her. It's like, wow, that was something I already knew, but I knew it. And I remember it just blessing me. It's real. The reality of heaven is a reality where, praise God, you are going to see and you are going to know and experience your family, your loved ones. But there's also another thing that I think it's important to understand too. This is a true story of a guy. He said, I once led a man to Christ who loved the sunny country of common sense, but he could not put up with the mystery of godliness. He kept shoving common sense at me while I kept trying to show him the mysteries that held the meaning of faith. One day he said, Pastor, you know this new eternal life I have? Well, I've been thinking about it. What are we going to do all day long for eternity? Well, we'll praise the Lord, I said. Forever, for 10 million years, we're going to stand around and praise the Lord? Well, yes, I said, although heaven was beginning to sound like cable television. For millions and millions of years, he said, could we just stop every now and again and mess around a little bit? I kidded him, but I have to admit that I had similar questions of my own. how meager our understanding of praise in heaven. You know, sometimes just being honest, being real. We go to heaven, we're going to be there for eternity, and it's like, wow, and we're going to be worshiping and worshiping. And you know, it's like praise and worship. We worship and worship, and then what? And then what? Then what are we going to do? Now, to be fair, to be clear, this does fall into that area of we see through a glass darkly. We haven't seen it all. Now, the Apostle Paul got caught up to heaven. He got to see some things, and he came to a conclusion that to be there is far better than here, all right? Again, he couldn't give us information. It wasn't lawful to speak on the earth, part of the things we don't know. But if your mind goes there and you begin to wonder, am I going to be bored in heaven? You know, I'm going to really like enjoy the praise and worship, you know, for a while. But then forever and ever and ever. The scripture says in the ages to come, he's going to show us the exceeding riches of his grace. In the ages to come, he's going to unfold the glory of his grace and his majesty. Now, if you can imagine just the world that we live in here, what our science knows about this existence, you can look out and there are like, I forget how many billions or trillions of galaxies beyond our galaxy, the vastness of creation. And you look at just the details of the smallest plants and the amazing creativity of God. And you begin to think about heaven, and you realize that when you begin to experience the glory of God and the vastness of him and his creation, right now, we're in a mortal body. What does that mean? It means our brain is mortal. Our brain is restricted. Your spirit, there's an anointing in you that knows all things. There's a creativity, but our natural mortal body, there's, you know, we can only take so much before we're overwhelmed. But we are going to have a glorified body that is in perfect harmony with our spirit, that has the ability to think and see and reason and experience things. In this world, we see things. We see images, you know? You can see images, but in heaven, it's just real. You're there. It's not like there are 20 billion galaxies. No, here, you can go to galaxies. You can see things. You experience things firsthand. These are not just things that you think about or hear about. You can experience the fullness of God's creation with him. You know, it's an amazing thing to think that what tilts our brains down here are the things that we will begin to experience real there. That place that is far better. I'll tell you what. This is a big part of living in the light of eternity, to realize eternity is worth living for. Eternity is worth going to. Eternity is going to be better than now. Eternity is going to be a lot better than now. In fact, the scripture says, God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There should be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying. There should be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and they are faithful. Praise God. This is the new eternal state that we're ultimately going to. It's going to be better than, you know, because what's the guy asking the question? You know, I'm going to be bored. Am I going to be able to stay stimulated? Have you ever gotten a revelation from God that's just like, whoa, you saw something? Well, take that times, I don't know what to multiply that by. But think about that. When you get something, you're having to go through the filter of your own selfish mortal flesh and the powers and the principalities and the evil influences that are in the air, the influence of the world. And yet God gets through all that to speak something, and it thrills our heart. When you're in heaven, this is no longer a distraction to you. There is no evil presence in the air. There is no competing worldly influence to do it this way. That's gone. Just like we were worshiping this morning. You are worthy of it all. Blessing and honor and glory and power. Worthy of it all. There is a worthiness. In that worthiness, it's in praising him. What is he saying? You're worthy of all. You've made us kings and priests to our God. and we will worship you forever. We will reign with you on the earth, he says. Do you know that heaven does not stay in heaven? Heaven is coming to the earth. This earth is going to be renovated by fire. Heaven as it exists now is temporary place. Heaven ultimately comes to this earth. The new Jerusalem comes down here. And our glorified bodies are on a glorified earth in a glorified Jerusalem. It's all physical in the end. Glorified. God has his original creation redeemed. His original design. That's an amazing thing to think. Our eternity, what the scripture calls the eternal state, is with him forever and ever. How many people do we know that have already gone on? They're seeing those things, hearing those things that are unlawful for us to know now. Why? We walk by faith and not by sight. We're absent from, we're at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. But to be absent from the body is to be present from the Lord. In the meantime, we walk by faith in these things. But you can see people who got a hold of these things. To where it was real. It was real to Paul. I know where I'm going. I'm going to a place where my Lord is. I'm going to a place of eternity. I remember just kind of hearing a little anecdote of a sense of the how big eternity is. It said, if you have a steel ball, a solid steel, the size of the earth, okay, 25,000 miles in circumference, so in every 1 million years, a little sparrow would be released to land on that ball, to sharpen its beak and fly away, only to come back a million years later and begin again. By the time he would have worn that ball down to the size of a BB, eternity will have just begun. Again, our minds, the suffering in this present time, it's not worthy to be compared with the glory. In other words, if you say, oh, it's really bad now, but it's going to be really good then, he said, no, it's not even worth doing that. No. Don't even. The comparison is just not. You can't. Who has that glory? Paul had that. It's like, I'm doing whatever you want me to do, God. I'm living a life that is full of courage. I'm going to have a courageous attitude. Whatever it is that you've called me to do, I see the end from the beginning. I see where I'm going to in this big picture. What is it that you've called me to do? I want to finish my course with joy. Because I know in the end, I'm going to be there. And I'm going to have completed whatever it is that you've called me to do. There is an attitude that it inspires when you see that big picture. You know, I remember even when we would be doing it was actually at a church. They were getting ready to build a new church. And so what we'd have to do is we'd have to set up the gym every time. You know, but we knew that someday we're not going to have to set up this gym every time because we're going to have this church. So what do? They built a little model of the church for us setup crew so we could see what that church is going to look like as we were setting it up. And that's kind of what you do to inspire courage and to stay with it. That's what we do too. We let ourselves go there. We let ourselves see, is it scriptural to set our mind on things above where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God? Is it okay to do that? Yeah, it is. We're commanded to do that. We're commanded to go there in our mind. And if we don't know quite what to see, we can pray, Lord, show us. Show me, Lord, as I'm setting my mind on things above. I see you there, Jesus. I know you're there. I know you love me. I know you're for me. I know you ever lived to make intercession for me. But Lord, my heart, my mind is there. That's my home. That's where I'm going. That's where my citizenship is. It's in heaven. To inspire that courageous attitude. An eternal purpose. While I'm down here, limited time only. You know, I'm in the game. I like to share that story where I was dreaming, you know, and it was like I grew up in Eau Claire and play football on Friday nights in Carson Park. And I was a strong safety. That was my thing, and I just loved it. It was just something I was passionate, I lived for, and I was all of a sudden, I'm there, I'm back in Carson Park. And I'm thinking, man, I'm young again. It's like so real to me. And I'm, you know, doing the plays and getting tackles and just really enjoying this thing and just so excited. And all of a sudden, I don't know if in the dream I must have got hit or something and I woke up. It's like, oh, I'm old. I'm not young anymore. But you get those dreams. And I remember as when I'd kind of woke up and it was like, then the Spirit of God just spoke to me. He said, Ed, this is your time. This is Carson Park. This is Friday night. This is your time. You're on the field now. When this game is over, you're going to be in the grandstands cheering other people on. But now you're on the field. This is your little bit of time. It's your little bit of slice that you can do with it. You know, your life, the Bible says a day is 1,000 years, 1,000 years is a day. Your life works out, you know, say 80 to 90 years, whatever. It works out to about a 2 to 2.5 hour movie when you translate our time to God time, all right? So if you think, man, this is 80, 90 years, that's about, in God time, that's just about an hour or two, all right? This is your movie. You're the star. You're the central guy. Now, you've got supporting casts, and everybody has their own race and their own movie, but this is your movie. This is your time. This is your opportunity to do what you want to do with it. If there's something God's put in your heart to do, now is the time to do it. Now is the time to begin to do the things that God is stirring in your heart to do. Praise God. Don't get caught in the paralysis of analysis. Man, begin to go in a direction. And if it's not God, he'll turn you around. That's what Paul did. He said, I'm going to go to Asia Minor. And the Lord said, no, you're not. He goes, okay, I guess I'm not going to Asia Minor. So I'm going to go to Berea. The Lord says, no, you're not going there. Or Bithynia. And said, nope, you're not going there. And then all of a sudden he got a revelation. Come over to Macedonia. But when you see the heart of Paul, I'm going to places for God, and the Spirit of God can keep me turned around, get me steered in the right direction. But you see, he was moving. He was doing something. He wasn't just stopping and waiting. He was doing something. He was going in his heart in a direction because he knew his limited time only. Man, I'm glad the things that Paul did in his Friday night Carson Park moment. He did it. He tore it up. And then finally, there's a reality of heaven. In other words, we're going to a place that's going to be fun and exciting and amazing and family and to realize. Have you ever had that where it's like you're going to go on a vacation and you're really excited and you've done it before? Maybe it's going to be new, but you've read all the stuff on it. It's like, you know, it's you're leaving Friday and it's Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. And it's like that as the day gets closer, you're just anticipating it more and more and more. That's the heart of living in the light of eternity. We're going toward glory. The sufferings of this present time can't compare with that vacation we're about to go on eternally with God. There are capacities of being loved that you have never even experienced yet. You've only had a taste of intimacy of what it's like to be known and loved. Think about that. Even with each other, we hide our hands in different ways. But when you don't have the flesh, the world, and the devil, you're not going to be hiding any hands. It'll just be very transparent. There will be love on a level that is just like, wow, I was created for this. Just stuff that just, oh, well, yeah. There's a lot of why God questions that we have down here too. You know, why did this happen? Why did that happen? Well, there's one thing encouraging. He says, we know in part, but then we're going to know fully, even as we're fully known. There's stuff that we go, wow, God looks like the bad guy. But we come over here, when we know fully, it's like, oh, okay, well, I see, I understand. We're going to understand things. But in the meantime, that's a place I'm looking forward to. That's home for me. That's my Father. That's why Jesus died. That's why he died, so we could experience eternity with God. Not to start up another religion. Didn't need one of those. Got many, not enough of those. He came so that we could experience eternal life. Man, that reality of that eternal life that'll drive someone to live the way the Apostle Paul lived. Father, we just thank you this morning that we can live in the light of eternity. I pray, Father, for each one of us here this morning. I just pray, Lord, that you will just show us how loved we are, Father God. I pray, Lord, that you'd give us that big picture, that sense, Father God, that we have a place where we're going that is worth living for, and it's even worth dying for, Lord, that this eternal life goes on and on and on, that my life is not linked to the physical condition of my body, but that my life outlives this body. Jesus, help us to see that. Help us to know that we have a purpose down here. We have people to touch, lives to touch. Help us to see you, Jesus, in hurting people, the needs of people, lost people, Father God, to show them the gospel, to the love of God, to show the hurting, Father God, that they are loved, to show the hungry, that they're fed, Father God, that we can feed the hungry, that we can show compassion, Lord. Use us to be your hands and feet. We want to love you, Jesus, as we love each one of these people. We see your heart in them. We see your love for them. Lord, help us to not look past, those folks, Lord, but to see your kindness, to see our opportunity to store up treasures in heaven by loving and caring for people, and to be able to be in heaven someday and to realize that you've used us to impact the outcome of heaven. What an amazing, beautiful, awesome opportunity. Help us to see this is our time. This is our time on the field to run our plays, to do what you've called us to do. Help us to have that divine perspective, to number our days, to realize that we're here. We're so grateful that we can be here. So grateful that where we're going, oh, it's exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. Help us to know and to realize and seal in our hearts that the sufferings of this present time can't be compared with the glory that we're going to get in on, Father God. Help us, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for all these truths, Lord. Help us to live our lives with that sense of eternity. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Sometimes you'll hear people say almost humorously, you know, to kind of say in essence the same thing, read the back of the book, we win. And there's a real truth there. In fact, that's a good spoiler alert. Spoiler alert, we win. We want to live with that alert. We want to live with the sense that, yes, we do win. The gates of hell will not prevail against the church. Praise God that God will have his way. And God will have his kingdom. And his purpose will be done on earth. Praise God. Amen.